dependent, yours. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC.
Welcome to Teachings in the Air. Welcome to Teachings in the Air podcast with Jerry Oldman, coming to you from Hunkaminam territory with a podcast series about Indigenous men's health and wellness. We aim to inspire, motivate, and empower Indigenous men to be sound in mind, body, and spirit, because that's what health means.
Hello, welcome to Teachings in the Air with Jerry Oldman. Today's podcast is called Repairing the Broken Circle. You know, and it's a podcast I had in my mind as soon as we started doing podcasts. It was about the broken circle. Because I cannot deny, and I'm sure many of us, that our circles have been impacted and broken at times. And when something's broken, that doesn't mean it cannot be repaired. So that's what this podcast is about. And the Indigenous Is series is about using our ways to help our people recover from what I call the post-colonial stress disorder. You know, there's so much stuff from colonialism that has impacted our individuals, our families, our communities. So what the reason why the actual topic is about lateral violence, and the word lateral means the one beside you. Well, that means in a community, you can be violent with the one that's beside you. And whether it's your family or someone from the community, the violence is happening beside you in your community or your home. And of course, violence is physical force. It's used to intimidate or with the intention to hurt. You know, and it's now identified for many communities as a major problem. You know, lateral violence. At first, I called this a crazy new way. The crazy new way of life for Indigenous people in North America. Because when I think back to when I was a child, I didn't see people swearing at each other and hollering at each other. I did see people fighting when they were intoxicated. But when everybody was themselves in a sane manner, there was none of this. Being violent with the one beside you, with words, or it could be even nonverbal. We can look at somebody and they say, holy cow, that looks could kill, I'd be dead. You know, we've all heard that statement. So, and I think about where we come from as a people. You know, we are all trained to develop relationships with each other. It was critical for survival, you know, so we're taught generosity. If I went to the river and I needed 20 salmon and I caught 30, I have to give the 10 away. It's just expected of me. Oh, go give it to those elders or to those ones that cannot fish. You know, so that's where we come from. We were raised to be generous, to be respectful, you know, to that respect factor is huge. To respect ourselves, to respect other human beings, to respect the deer, the salmon where I'm from. We were taught to respect that. Don't waste, son. My granny's word rings in my ears. Son, don't waste. So if I got a deer, I'd have to skin it right away, you know, and be careful how I skin it so that you can use the hide and use every part of that deer. You know, and that's where we come from as a people. We're taught to respect, and I remember I was telling a friend of mine that as a child, once I was walking with my granny by the river in the summertime, and I had a stick, and I was lopping off the heads of flowers and plants and stuff. My granny says, "No, son, don't do that." I didn't question her. I stopped, but I wondered why. And it wasn't until I was an adult, and I was telling this story to a friend of mine, and I said, "You know, my granny stopped me from even hurting a plant." And I was wondering why. And he said, "Well, she knew that the next stage would be human beings. It'd be human beings that I'd start to harm them." So that's where we all come from. And I have hope today, even though this is now considered a major problem with a lot of people, lateral violence, because some of it's pretty... I mean, I've talked to people in communities, and there's broken bones, there's murder, there's serious stuff that's happened. Lateral with people beside you. So I know it's a serious issue. You know, and it's moved on to cyberbullying, people doing it on Facebook and Instagram, you know, and doing that kind of stuff too. So that repairing the circle, to me, it's so important that we start to find ways. I think we all know the reason why we're at where we're at. We know that. We know that. We all know what it's like to be poor, to have racism in our lives, to lose our spirituality, our language, our food, you know, because when we got put on the res, maybe not so much up there, I know, but down south, you know, a lot of us lost our food. Fish and game laws and stuff like that. Our whole world changed. So it's not surprising to me that our social structures changed too around family, around what to do. So this lateral violence, or this crazy new way, has become a problem that people are wrestling with today, because I've been called to different communities to talk about what to do, you know. And I'd be at communities and I'd hear these stories of violence, brother against brother, family against family. And it was such a, it's sad to know that, you know, that I was talking to this one family and I got called in to talk to them, to work with them. And the brothers were fighting over drugs. And it was extreme violence. And the father says, "I lost two sons." He says, "One to jail and one's gone now. They're never going to come back." So I really felt those moments and was thankful that I was culturally grounded to where I could function, to see what I can do. Because that's what I was called there to do my best, to help the family that were there to heal. In regards to this lateral violence, because brother against brother is definitely the one beside you. The word lateral means the one beside you. So a lot of my life, working life as a human service worker, I feel that this has been the first cause for a lot of sad events, addictions, more violence, and people not making it, you know, in society or work or career or family, you know. So it's gotten in the way of a lot of our people, this lateral violence. So that's what I was thinking of as I was saying, "Hey, how can I talk about this? And who can I talk to about this repairing the circle?" one of my crew, Eugene, says, hey, there's this lady up in the Yukon. She's doing some good work. Maybe you could interview her. Anyway, I have this wonderful lady with me. Her name is Marilyn from the Yukon. So I'd like her to introduce herself first, and then we'll get into a discussion about the work that she's doing. So please, Marilyn, can you introduce yourself to the listeners of Teachings in the Air?
Sheesh, thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here with you today, and I'm just enjoying listening to you speak and really enjoying the words that you've shared so far. So my Tlingit name is Yadaltin Yuhatduasalk. That's how we say that in our language. And my English name is Marilyn. I live up here in the Yukon, and I am a member of the Killer Whale Clan, which is Dakhlawedi, and I also belong under the Wolf Moiety. So I follow my mother's lineage, and she was Dakhlawedi, and her mother, and her mother, and her mother. So I come from a small community called Carcross. I live up here in the Yukon, and have been here all of my life, and I'm a dancer. I sing and I drum, and I lead a dance group called the Dhaka Kwan, and I spend a lot of time in the field of lateral violence, which my colleague and I kind of renamed the work that we do into lateral kindness as a reclamation of who we really are as Indigenous people.
So how long has this lateral kindness been going on? How did it come to be, and how long has it been going on?
Well, back in, I think it was 7 years ago, 2013-ish, I teach at Yukon University, and I teach in the Indigenous Governance Program. And one time I was teaching a course called Community and Organizational Wellness. And of course, it's all based on Indigenous community. And I had to speak about lateral violence because, it, like you said, it's such a huge, huge problem in our community. Everywhere we go, you know, people speak of how this is impeding our ability to move forward and how it impedes us to realize, you know, our vision of essentially being well, you know, and self-determination. So from there, I got a phone call from one of the nations here in the Yukon. And they called me in, and they had a couple of elders there and their leadership and some of their, you know, staff that work in the administration. And they said, we have this problem. We totally own that we have this problem, and we want to start moving forward and working on it. Can you come teach our whole community, our leaders, our elders, our youth, our staff, our citizens, everybody, about what lateral violence is and how we can move forward? And I went, okay. And so I enlisted one of my colleagues. His name is Thomas Shepherd. And so together, we took on the challenge, and we realized that, you know, we realized the reasons why we're dealing with lateral violence. And like you mentioned, it's because of, you know, it's an impact of having been colonized. It's a symptom of people who have experienced massive oppression and abuse, you know, and silenced and all of that. So, you know, we realize why we have it. And we also realize the absolute, I think, freedom that comes to our people when we realize and we can say, yeah, we have this. And why are we doing it? And then we understand why we're doing it. And then we decide to change it, you know, and the way we change it is by basically reclaiming who we really are, you know, the reclamation of our true Indigenous, you know, identity and ethics and ways of being. My mom always used to say, our people are beautiful, our people are kind, and our people are noble. That's who they really are. You know, so when we see these behaviors emerging and causing so much trouble, like you mentioned, it's just a lot easier when we can understand, you know, like what's at the core of that And it's not that we're bad people. We're not mean people. We're not ugly people. It's because of, you know, just not knowing how to release pain in a good way, you know, so it comes out in these ugly ways known as lateral violence.
Yes, that, you know, that community was, they had someone there that understood. Like I have the saying that I got from one of my teachers, and his name is Kluwitz-Teken. You know, I have a hard time to say it sometimes, but he told me, Jerry, you cannot say goodbye to your problems till you say hello to them.
Yeah.
You know, and you admit and you disclose to people that we're having this problem. Can you please help us? Mm-hmm. Because that statement of accountability of harm that's happening is critical. Otherwise, we dance around the subject of lateral violence and we don't. And I've been to communities where I thought, oh, we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then something would come in, you know, to stop it. Mm-hmm. Usually a relationship.
Yeah.
Like the leader's nephew was part of the problem.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't want to deal with it. So it gets to be complicated, you know. And I like your approach about lateral kindness. Because I've heard other people say that maybe they got it from you. Because I remember they asked me to do suicide prevention with youth. Mm-hmm. And they had it written on a flip chart paper, and my boss said, Jerry, these people, I don't think they understand what it's like to live on a reservation or to be indigenous, so you can take over. So I took her words literally, and I went up to the flip chart and I took off the paper and I wrote on there, we want to live. I want to live. I said, that's what we're going to call this. And there were youth there. It was a focus group. And I said, I know you know why we called you. And I'm so glad that you've come to be with us. Because this topic, I don't No, but there's any indigenous family immune from suicide in this country. Uncles, aunties, someone. They said, so we're going to call it, I Want to Live. We're going to find out how to do that together. Because the meaning of life is to find your gift and to use it to help other human beings. You see, if you don't find your gift, you suffer. You feel worthless. You don't have an identity. Identity means about being the same. And I think of all the ones that say don't speak their language or don't know their clan or don't have a name, you know, like an indigenous name. And I could see how that could cause tension and conflict in individuals, because I felt that myself. I'm a survivor of Kamloops Indian Residential School. And the identity that comes from that is that some people would call us Apple Indians. We're red on the outside, white on the inside. Because they literally beat the language out of us, you know, and the beliefs about our people and things, you know. It was pretty intensive indoctrination for hundreds, you know, thousands of children. So I see that as part of the first cause is messing with people's identity. Who they are, where they start to doubt themselves. Am I really indigenous? I don't know ceremony. I don't know one song. I've never danced. I've never killed a moose or any of those things that make a person indigenous. So I know when there's tension in the mind and the body, that if you don't deal with it, it can come out negative. And how you talk with other human beings. You know, and you lose that kindness you're talking about, that lateral kindness. It's easier to badmouth somebody and to say something good about them. You know, so I'm curious to, you know, you guys worked on this lateral kindness. What were some of the structures you put together to teach that?
Well, the approach we take basically is, you know, storytelling. In all of the teaching work that I do, I really prefer to enlist, you know, our traditional way of teaching people, which is largely, you know, storytelling and sharing. And so we just start off just kind of at the beginning, you know, and talk about the behavioral rules, you know, that were very, very apparent and structured within our own communities. Mm-hmm. You know, like there were ways that you talk to people. My mom and I hear a lot of elders say, you can't just talk any old way to people. You know, there's protocols and there's structures, and especially, you know, myself as a Duckleweighty woman, I can't just go into somebody else's community and speak unkindly, you know, or unruly to them. There's rules about that. And so we talk about these things, you know, and we talk about the way that children would have been, you know, taught, and how society worked, and how it was very much, you know, a beautiful, beautiful way of balance. Because, you know, earlier I mentioned I belong under the wolf side. Well, I have people who are known as opposites, my father's people, and they're raven or crow. And we have we have protocols in the way that we interact with each other that are really based on balance and harmony and respect and kindness and all of those, you know, values that almost everyone's Indigenous community or culture has. And then we talk, you know, we go into the disruptive nature of colonization and residential school and how people were literally punished and were not allowed to practice those traditional ways of oneness. We had one really nice gentleman tell us before, because one of the tools that we speak about is when people are witnessing lateral violence, for the bystanders to sometimes try to, you know, interrupt or redirect the lateral violence. And one man told us, he said, we all of us learned how to be silent at residential school. Because if you tried to protect somebody or, you know, do what you're suggesting, you got it next. You got in trouble. You got punished, either from, you know, the supervisors or from the other kids. So we learned how to be silent. And back to, you know, when the elders say, you can't just say any old thing to people. You have to think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Really think, consider, what am I saying and how am I saying it? Because the way that people say things, you know, are very, when we are coming from the perspective of lateral violence, so much of it is very passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like someone came up to you and just stabbed you and ran out. And you know that whatever it was hurt, but it's really quite difficult sometimes to articulate it or, mm-hmm. you know, like pinpoint what it is. So it's happening, you know, kind of at that under the water level, or we can't really identify it, but I know that what somebody is doing to me is meant to hurt me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's meant to hurt me emotionally. But I can't articulate it to my supervisor, to whoever, you know, the people of my clan, but it's happening. And so, you know, we have to be really in this whole reclamation. We're reclaiming so much. We also need to reclaim that those speaking rules, you know, like the oratory, call it, the way that I tell a story, you know, like there's rules about that too. You know, I start off with, say, my father's people, and, you know, and I hold them up and I praise them and I love them. And then I move to us, and I never, you know, like make my people or myself so great and all that. It's always about the opposites, you know, and saying thank you and these things, you know, the showing humility and all of that. So, you know, as we learn and we reclaim, I think it becomes very natural, you know, that we realize that we're out of the boundaries, like you said, you know, we're out of the boundaries when we let these behaviors overcome us, right? And when I understand what's driving me is my own pain, mm-hmm. my own grief, you know, and my own whatever it is, which is, you know, it's, yeah, we are still in pain and we are still hurting, you know, but a part of that discipline and accountability comes when I realize I am accountable for my own pain. You know, the way that I release pain is my responsibility. And I can't use that as an excuse to be mean to everybody and to hurt people, to hurt other people, right? It's my responsibility, whether I go to ceremony or I dance or I go out on the land or whatever it is, you know, whatever way that people find, those individuals find in dealing with their pain, you know, that's my responsibility.
Yes. And, you know, your whole experience just reminds me of what the elders would tell me, like, be careful and sincere with your words. One elder says it's like an arrow, even a bow, can cause serious harm, or it can heal. So you have to be careful. And my granny would say, be careful and sincere talking to babies inside the mom. You know, she'd go that far, and she says, because they absorb everything like a sponge. They got no filters. So if they hear violence while it's carried inside the mom, they absorb that. Once, when I finally figured that out, because my mother told me this when I was in my 20s, I'm in my 70s now. I say, my, what a wonderful way of life. She says, everything is said to that baby inside the mom is positive. It's stories, it's teachings, it's how to be. We're layering it on that baby, still not even fully formed yet. I thought, what a wonderful start in life, you know, to feel all that love and attention before you even step out into the world. You know, that free yourself. People say ground yourself or whatever. And the elders would say, free yourself. Put it down. Yakuzet kwiat. Free yourself. Put it down. You're not doing anyone any good being angry all the time or depressed or scared. You must, like you're saying, they say, go by the big rock, go by the river, go by the big tree, let it out. Don't carry it around. Because when, and I think of the lateral violence, that means there's something cooking inside that person. You got story, that analogy about the teapot. You put it on the hot stove and you plug it up, it's going to explode. Eventually, it's built up so much pressure. So I know a lot of our people have done that because they have, like you're saying, dancing. I know dancing, like that whole movement, you know, will, I know trauma experts now encourage people to shake, to do different things with their body to get the trauma out of their muscles. Because every thought we have, there's a muscular reaction in our body somewhere. So to free ourselves, you know, that's part of the solution, is to get that anger out of the people. Because I know they're not angry at the ones beside them, really, unless they have a history or they've already started hurting each other. But at the first incidents, they're angry at their lot in life, but being indigenous and being poor, you know, all of those things. So if we can find a way to let that anger out in a way it's not hurting anybody, but it's healing, is a way out of this, to get to that lateral kindness and lateral love, you know, that we all come from in the first place. Our ancestry, that's how they lived. You know, I was thinking as I was listening to you, the part of the foundation of having a good relationship is when you go into a relationship, whether it's in a family or a group or band office, wherever, if you're seen, heard, and respected, it's going to be okay. Because people see you and then they accept you as you look. And when you speak, they listen to you. And they show that respect for you. So any relationship requires that. As soon as you start to ignore them, someone, you know, those feelings start to move in that person. And if you don't listen to them, it's, you know, the silent treatment, It's one of the big lateral violence tricks in First Nations communities. Some people haven't talked to each other, their own parents or brother or sister, for years. It's silent treatment. You know, I know, like, and you disclosed that you.